night. Yes, it is time to talk about some college antics back in the 80s with the ultimate question mark parody film, Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. This one was picked by B. Kel. It's a huge step up from The Plague.
No. This was picked by Scott, I thought.
No, I think he twisted.
Yeah, I think he twisted your arm.
I sure didn't twist your arm. So this is the story of Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. So Katie and I were talking about it constantly because she just watched it, and then I watched it, and then I got you to watch it, and you were like, we should do this for the podcast. I'm like, yes, we should. That's how it happened.
That's probably true. Cause my life is just like, I'm that guy in a group picture that's always lost. And like, everyone's just like, no, Brian, just go to the right. And I'm like, oh, sure.
So this movie, like, I don't know. There was like a point where I just stopped taking notes and just kind of laid down and enjoyed the movie for what it is. It barely constitutes being a movie.
This is just a bunch of skits.
Yeah. Like it, the fact that it was made by 5 Second Films shines because, because so much of the scenes are literally 5 Second ideas and then jumping to the next thing. Like it's very like manic. But I do appreciate that it kicks off with a Texas Chainsaw Massacre parody right out the gate with the intro and the voice and the scrolling text and the red background and all that. That's great. I'll tell you what, though. I would much rather be watching Dude Bro Party Massacre 1. That movie seemed dope as shit. Like, I was like all about that one.
So I rewatched this yesterday, I think. I rewatched it yesterday and then just finished it 20 minutes ago. And I think what made me enjoy it so much the second time around was Thursday. I was just like, oh, why not? Let's just do like it's Thanksgiving. So let's watch Thanksgiving. And comparing the two
steak
parody movies, like this movie is just so fun. And yeah, it knows how to make a parody. And Thanksgiving doesn't. Like Thanksgiving is just a boring version of this.
Thanksgiving's got like two really funny segments and the rest is trash.
Yeah.
The scene in the car with the dude is amazing, where he makes the guy call his daughter to say goodbye to her before he kills her. And then when he's wearing the girl's dad's face and no one recognizes that it's just a turkey wearing a human face. Like they're the only two parts that make that movie worth watching.
But it's not even like I just wish someone would have showed me those two parts.
I have to say, I got a genuine like gross out from the vomit blood spurt.
Oh, it's awesome. But bro, hold my hair back. Yeah.
It's so gross. It's like
that's not the grossest thing that happens in this movie for sure.
Oh, I think that just the look of the vomit and blood coming out of his throat simultaneously. No, thank you.
So the very beginning of this, of Dude Bro Party Massacre, the one, is hilarious because of the slow-mo solo cup smash. Like, they're just smashing cups. I took some notes. Most of my notes are just quotes because I love this film. I think it's fucking hilarious. It was just so painful. I don't know if I can talk about it. Okay, I'll try.
Yeah, no, there's some, like, I have the one quote I have written down here is, I forget the whole context, but it just goes, because I'm Brock, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah, like, it's, oh man, I just, it's so, this movie, I think this movie is so funny. Like, it's funnier than it has any right to be. Like, it doesn't have the rewatchability factor that you'd, it has this rewatchability factor, but no movie like this should have that kind of rewatchability factor.
Yeah.
I think it's just, like I said, I really like this movie. I don't know how often I would watch this movie.
Because I've watched it twice in 6 months, man, and that's saying a lot.
That's a record for you.
No, not a record. Turbo Kid beats that record with 3 within a month, but this is up there.
But I just think that this movie's just so, like I got tired. It's like running
frenetic.
A marathon.
Yeah.
Like, there's at least one quote that I know I will be using in my life all the time. And it's the one cop when the car breaks down, he goes, "My dream."
I thought that you were going to talk about banging kids. I'm going to bring kids on my bus and bang them.
Yeah, it's so funny. She's like, your library bus. That's not the name. The bus where you bang their minds. It's too long.
I also like when that cop saves the kid from getting abused by his dad. I'm not sure if you catch, but the dad goes, "You think you're cooler than me just because you got a tie and a job?"
This movie is so great.
Oh, yeah, so I mean, good. It's really funny. It's really, really funny, but it is like, it's like watching every episode of The State, but in fast forward. Like, it's just so much stuff, so random, so crazy, so fast.
Which is perfect. You know, like, it's just, it's all clusterfuck, and it's entertaining from start to finish. There's not like one time where you're like, all right, I'm bored at this point. There's just always something going on.
It's not even like a super short movie. It's like an hour and 25 minutes or something. It's like a full movie.
No, it's an hour 45.
Really?
Holy hell. I just finished it today. I don't know how it's an hour 45 because the credits start at like an hour 27.
Oh, it might just be one of the, maybe they Charles Bandit those credits.
Yeah.
Was there a commercial for Pizza Goblin, by the way? Because I saw that and for a split second thought Goblin. That Mandy was on my TV.
Yeah. No, Pizza Goblins came first, but I definitely prefer Cheddar Goblin.
I mean, there's no plot to talk about with this movie, but we'll give it a shot.
So we get Spear Gun to the Crotch at the beginning when they're talking about, I want to talk about Dubro Party Massacre 1 first. So we get the Spear Gun to the Crotch, which is a total hilarious riff on Friday the 13th, right?
Yes.
The Kevin Bacon joke. And then we get like Larry King randomly as Coach Hansi.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did they get him? This is a rhetorical question.
Look, they got Andrew WK up in this bitch. They got the star of the room in this movie.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't know how they got Larry King for this, and they also got him for Mr. 3000, which is, I don't know how you could get Larry King for Mr. 3000 and also get Jay Leno. And then on top of that, get Jay Leno for First Daughter in the same year and get Michael Keaton, who was in
Boom. Nice.
Boom.
I was wondering if you were going to be able to do that today.
Yeah, Scott, the character of Derek is
Derek?
The dude.
Which one's Derek?
He's the one that hates tools and gets his head shot. That's the other character in the room, like Mark.
Holy shit.
Because they even have him quote a scene from the room in the movie when he's looking around the when they're inside the RV that they stole, and he's looking around, he's like, "Flowers, nice." Which is like straight out of the room.
Well, you gotta keep in mind that I have never and will never watch The Room in full. I've watched enough pieces.
I watched it once and it's boring and I don't think that it deserves all the praise that it gets. But yeah, that was Greg's, I think it's Sestero or something like that. But he's from this and he plays Toulon in one of the Puppet Master films.
What?
Yeah.
That guy's not that old.
I know. It was like one of the like Toulon during the Nazi days movies that they did, like part 7 or 8 or 9 or 15.
That is
or
so weird. So weird, man. But so anyway, junior year, we raged even harder.
Did we talk about the juicer kill? Is that in part one or part two?
I think that's part two. So that's junior year. That fart on my face saved my life. and then Jimmy Galoshes doesn't understand consent because Jimmy Galoshes is out streaking with the girls and they all get electrocuted and then he touches a boob and gets electrocuted and he deserves it. Like none of the bros deserved it as bad as Jimmy Galoshes.
But the best is like he doesn't even like touch a boob as much as he like boops a boob.
He bops it on the nose and turns it into a bag of oranges.
If that boob was a Facebook profile, he poked it. this movie's just bonkers.
Whoa, wait. I think that I do know my besides the year of my life part, which is
off the shirt.
Yeah. And like, it's so long. My other absolute favorite quote is right in Dubro Party Massacre 2, when this guy, I don't think they said the name, but they might have said whatever frat brother it was, and he's looking at the Areolas magazine. He goes, "Gonna masturbate." Oh shit, man! It's so funny.
Actually, I remember what my favorite line in the movie is now that I'm looking at is the dude in the wheelchair at the very end of the movie.
Nerdry.
Yeah, when you think that he's come back to save the day and he goes, you want to see some cold ass shit? Ca-caw!
Oh, man. That character's great, too. I love it when he's like, oh, God. It's when Brent. Brent is the character in this one, right? Not Brock. Brock's the one gets killed. Yeah. Okay, so Brent is like, I gotta go with him. You'll find your way. And he's like, oh. And he's just kind of like wheeling along. And he's like, oh, why couldn't it be a handicap accessible canoe or something like that? It's fucking great.
So let's talk about the character of Samantha, who's just so outrageous throughout this entire movie. Oh, man,
she's hilarious.
When her eyes glow red and she's like, fill me with your seed.
It's Samantha. I literally tried to bang all of you.
I love when she shows up with the beer and she's like, but I have beer now. You can like me. And he goes, we can like beer without liking you.
Basically, that's the female Brian. Just like me.
You guys like me, right?
Yeah.
What is that line when she's, oh man, I thought I wrote it down, but damn it, I guess I didn't write it down. The we call him T-O-double-D for short for Todd. Get the fuck out of here, Samantha. But then he like knocks the cookies out of her hand and she says something that's just hilarious. And I didn't write it down, but man, all of her lines are so funny because she's just such a tryhard and it's great. I also like that it says like, what's their frat called?
Oh, I can't remember.
Well, it says like female, then her, the frat. And I just love how she's such a tryhard. It's so fucking funny to me.
So I want to talk about the reveal of Motherface at the end of this movie.
Wait, no, we can't go that far ahead.
We went to cold-ass shit.
So Sminkle, that line, the Sminkle's bang bus. All I want to do for the children of Chico, I just want to bang them all. But we're also missing so many great...
We'll get back to it. I just want to voice something I think is funny. It's two things. One, the best line delivery in the entire movie is during the dream sequence where he's like, I know who you are. You're Ronald Reagan. And Motherface goes, No, I'm not.
No, I'm not at all.
But I love that the reveal of the killer is like barely a reveal. Like, I was like, yeah, I knew it was the therapist. I thought the therapist was someone more important than that. Like,
she's the sister of the mother.
Like, it's one of those things where you're like, it's like Billy's mom in Scream 2. Like, you're sitting there going like, that's it? Like, I thought that we'd get someone that's been in this movie consistently, not the chick from Roseanne who popped up twice.
Oh, man. I think that's what's so funny is it takes everything that would be a bombastic joke, turns it on in its head, and it's funnier that way.
Yeah.
You know, like on when Sminkle and I can't remember what her name was, the female,
when she's a bag of oranges.
Yeah.
That's my favorite scene.
When she's actually a bag of oranges and he's like crying, rolling on the floor.
Yeah. Just that entire setup and delivery. It's so ridiculous. And he's so funny. Just like,
yeah. No, Sminkle's hilarious.
Yeah. Bag of oranges, get in here.
We can solve the orange case together. About that. I solved it. Yeah? You know, with what fucking clues, partner?
Yeah, I also really like the fact there's no internal consistency to pretty much any of the characters at all, because he's like snorting coke and he goes, I'm an immortal fuck machine at the beginning, but he's the virgin sacrifice. And how did they get Patton Oswalt to be in this? It's not like he's doing a whole lot, but
I mean, you have to think that 5 second films for like a good 5 to 6 years at this point had been a pretty high ranking comedy site. There's cameos from like every writer from crack.com.
Oh yeah. Like, oh, for sure.
Like they got a lot of just like, I think they just got good clout. And also like, think about, we were talking about Larry King. Like how much money do you think they threw at Larry King to just stand in a gym and say like, oh no.
Yeah. And basically he wasn't even in a gym. He was just in like a green screen.
Yeah. Half this movie's shot in a green screen.
I don't even care though. It's so funny. God damn it. Larry, oh man.
Not Larry King. Patton Oswalt's been in like a few National Lampoon movies post 2007. And I just feel like if you're in a National Lampoon's movie post 2007, that's pretty much like doing a startup college movie. Like no money, because no one cares about them anymore.
I think Patton just likes to work.
Yeah.
He's like
Danny Trejo. Like he'll just be like, oh, you're making a movie? Sure. I'll be in it.
Especially if he doesn't have to commit to more than like a day. I'm sure he's like, yeah, I'll help you.
You think that he did all of his, you think that Patton did all of his scenes in a day?
Oh, easily.
I don't know. Like, I know that Andrew WK's in this movie.
Yeah.
For a split second.
He's like Andrew WK. Times.
Yeah. Andrew WK is a lot easier to me because it's like, that dude loves the party and this movie has party in its name. So like,
yeah. I think that was the whole joke.
I think they just told him the title.
Party Massacre 3. Do you want to be like, yeah, brother.
He's like, don't even show me the scripts.
I don't need a script.
He seems, but you know what? God bless Andrew WK.
Andrew WK is awesome.
Just an internal source of optimistic partyism.
Yeah, and like, I love how his idea of partying really is completely disassociated from drinking.
Yeah, it's just
it may happen,
time.
But he's just about like, let's just be fun. Let's have fun. Like,
let's get fun and we want to get wasted.
Wait, is that a song?
Yeah, that's the song that he did for Jackass.
Oh, okay.
We want fun.
Oh, yeah. I just don't remember the lyrics.
His song titles are amazing.
His song titles are the song. You know, that's how he writes songs. He's like,
ready to party, party hard, fun, we want fun.
He's hilarious. And he's like a motivational speaker. It's wild.
Remember when there was the whole drama of like, is he really Andrew WK or is there is he an imposter WK?
What?
Oh, it was bonkers. People were like, he's not the original Andrew WK. Like that was like the big conspiracy theory.
You know, he probably had some PR company build that just so people would talk about it more. I don't want to believe that he's anything less than a completely wholesome person though.
He called, I think it was Jonathan London, got a phone call from
Andrew WK. I'm sure he got a call from Andrew WK because Jonathan London gets calls from everybody.
Well, no, this was like when he put out his second album, The Wolf, he promised to call any person that bought it online.
What?
I love
Andrew WK. That's so endearing. He's so charming.
It's just like giving people phone calls, being like, hey, man, thanks for buying my record.
I would do that. Do you think that people would buy my record if I did that? If all the songs were about partying.
I think you could do it.
Brian.
When I think of party, I think of Scott Rogers.
No, you might think of party, but I think the first word in it is pity.
Yeah.
But all
of your songs are like, don't feel like dealing with people today.
you're not selling this to me. All right.
Coming up with excuses to not go to the party.
Brian, do you want to help write this album?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Standing in the corner, drinking my hempire.
Emperor, yeah. God damn. Okay, so back to Dude Bro Party Massacre. They go and the funniest cameo that is somebody that I guess I should know, but I don't, is the Dean. She's like, you killed 250 people and I do not eat farts. And then they're like, they get banished to the lake for whatever it was, pledge week or whatever. And they're like, you can't make us leave campus from pledge week. It's like Easter for men.
Yeah, Easter for men is what I had written down too. Oh,
then they go and they're driving and the song that they're singing along with the radio is nobody is gonna die. Nobody is gonna die. It's just, man. And then I guess it's Todd is driving the bus, and first of all, the bus is like covered in stuff that Samantha put that says like happy anniversary, and there's like baby stuff in the bathroom, and then they're like, there are no consequences. No consequences in America. Because we're Americans.
This movie, I'm really glad I finally got around to watching this movie.
Yeah. Also, there's that cleanup montage. Oh, first of all, they crush so many beers in this movie. I don't even know if they're drinking the beers, but they're just crushing beer cans. Like hundreds of beers were crushed for this movie. And they're just like shotgunning them, and it's hilarious. It must have smelled awful if those were really beers.
I'm sure they were. I'm sure that's like a huge perk to be in this movie.
So, Brian, real talk, was this a trigger for you?
No.
Okay, no. Good. Because like I felt bad rewatching. I was like, Brian picked this, and I definitely pushed him towards it. Am I like that devil on his shoulder?
No. See, what you guys don't understand is like watching a bunch of people drink isn't a trigger for me. Watching like X-Ray is a huge trigger for me.
Because it's so bad?
I'm like, oh, man. This would be much easier if I had a beer and a lot of cocaine.
Well, they did a lot of cocaine in this movie, too.
Yeah.
Everybody had fun.
Had fun.
Yeah. All right. So also there's straight up dude balls and man ass in the cleanup montage, which I think is also hilarious because there's a little bit of female nudity, but there's so much more male nudity.
Which I always love that in movies. It's like one of my favorite jokes in Orgasmo is that there's like way, it's a film about porn, but there's way more man ass than any boobs.
Yeah. 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 There's like one set of boobs that you see in Orgasmo, but so much man butt. Like, so much man butt. And you also see a lot of man butt in Basketball. I think that Trey Parker and Matt Stone got into movies just so they could show off their pasty, flat asses.
Were there gigantic dongs in Basketball?
Long winger. Oh.
The scene, I remember the first time I saw that movie, I didn't even notice the scene where he like turns around real quick.
It flops.
And you see a huge dog.
Yeah. Flop. How did you miss that?
I think I missed the giant dick joke the first time. Like when she threw the papers down, I didn't notice.
Oh, and they both like, I love that. That's so good. She flings the papers down and they both flinch because it smacked their huge dongs. So funny. So fucking funny.
Man, that would be a good Patreon episode. I could basketball? Talk basketball.
Oh man, I feel like Basketball would be a joy for us to record, but a slog for the patrons to listen to because it would literally be 3 hours long. We would That's put true. More time into talking about it. It would be us quoting it, and then we would do basically another version of soundtracking, even though we already did it. We would still talk about the music, and then we would tell stories about liking ska music, and we'd talk about Nerf Herder, and like it would just be.
Right. We already did the Basketball episode.
we can do it again if people want to pay for it. I mean, that's fine.
I should announce that I've decided that on Patreon, I'm going to bring back the me talking about Power Rangers episodes as Patreon exclusive. Yes. But I'm going to call it Maddie Morphin Power Rangers as the name of the podcast.
Wow. Wow. Can it just be you? Can it just be you alone so that you don't have to have us like laughing and groaning and listening to you talk about it?
It's up to you guys. I'm fine either way.
No, we won't leave you hanging.
All right. What more do we want to say about
Oh, man. I beefed on day five. Spike, he beefed like every hour.
But yeah, I don't
do beef box.
So here's real talk, real question. Beefing is sucking dick, right?
No, I thought it was farting.
God, it could be anything. That's also what's so funny because oh damn it, where'd it go?
I think that's when he says here, that's where I beefed.
Yeah, I think that's the only joke I don't care for in the movie.
Is beefing the beef box?
It's like, yeah, because I think beefing is farting, and it's just like, oh, I'm a vegan, so I don't beef, or I'm a vegetarian, so I don't beef, and it's just like, nah.
Yeah, I've been in Scott's house. There's plenty of beef. Yeah.
Listen, it wasn't just me. I had at least one Kelly brother with me 2 years ago. And then this year I had two of them. And Mario comes every year, and that dude's not, he's not vegetarian, and he farts every day, all day long, and his farts are the worst farts I've ever smelled in my entire life.
I've been beefing this entire episode. I don't know if it's the fucking Thanksgiving leftovers or the fact that I ate so much hot wings yesterday, but I just...
No! just even you saying hot wings is just gross.
Yeah.
But my investigation. We dance. we're killing the killer, just like old times, Brock. Go rape years. I trusted you.
He's finally overcoming his fear of heights. We never established that.
Who cares? This whole thing's a mess. Yeah.
This is a really funny.
I have one more quote, and then I don't even know how far are we? We're like 26 minutes in. That's good. Good. We talked 26 minutes on a movie with no plot. I'll always be with you, Brent, inside your butt, giving you powers.
I have nothing else for this movie.
Hey, Toxic here.
And Meridon, too.
We're the hosts of the Overleague podcast.
Are you a fan of Overwatch League or just a fan of Overwatch in general?
Well, if you are, we break down matches and all other Overwatch happenings, and we won't judge your main.
Tune in every other Tuesday to the Overleague on Geekscape, wherever you get your podcasts.
What would be your guys' double feature? Brian, you picked this, so you get to go first.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't have one yet.
All right, then I'll go. Yeah. Since the movie's presented as like a VHS tape recording, I'm going to go ahead and just say WNUF Halloween special.
Nice.
That's what I was thinking.
What order, though?
I think you need a...
Personally,
you ramp up or do you cool down? That's a good question.
I think that you start with Dubro Party Massacre because the end of WNUF is pretty dark, but it's fun up until like the midway point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that it'll be the cool down, help you like kind of relax before bed after the nonstop energy of Dubro Party Massacre 3.
Well, I would pick Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Okay.
Just because it's one of my all-time favorite horror movies.
All right.
And it has an identical title.
That is true. All right, Brian.
Or what if I would do, and I would start with Slumber Party Massacre 2 if I was doing that. But if you did Slumber Party Massacre 3, then Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, except Slumber Party Massacre 3 is pretty boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would stick with 2. Just act like this is a sequel to Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Yeah.
So I'd probably do The Final Girls.
Okay.
Oh, nice choice. Yeah.
That is a really good choice.
Because I was thinking when I was watching it, it did remind me of WNUF, but like that is a very acquired taste.
Yeah.
Not an acquired taste, but it's like, it's not goofy. It's more like trying to be as real as possible to convince you that it's real. But I think Final Girls is just the fucking like goofy ass fucking movie like this, just obviously with a better budget
and a way more emotional ending.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that ending hits me when I watch Final Girls. I'm like, oh Betty Davis eyes.
Except that the singer in that song always kills me because she's got the worst fucking voice.
Yeah, she's got that very like if Stevie Nicks smoked a pack of cigarettes.
But the thing is that I wouldn't even put her in the same universe as Stevie Nicks because
Nicks actually has like talent and was able to write hits.
Yeah, but like, who sings Betty Davis Eyes?
I forget. I just remember that it was a replacement. They wanted to use a Madonna song and Madonna didn't give them the okay. So they replaced it with Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, in Final Girls?
In Final Girls. I don't know what, because I remember the story on the commentary track was it was a very specific Madonna song. And she said, literally, you could have any song except for that one because it's so personal to me. So I'm wondering if it's like a prayer is my guess. I feel like that one's kind of got the closest to the beat of Betty Davis Eyes. But yeah.
I don't know. I think the Betty Davis Eyes is a really good choice. I just want to hear someone sing it, not like they're throwing gravel down a well.
You know, Scott, you're asking a lot here.
I mean, I have a voice and I know how to produce music.
And it was performed by Kim Carnes. She's known for her raspy vocal style and drew many comparisons to Rod Stewart.
Ew. No one wants to be compared to Rod Stewart. Oh, that is like the Wake biggest kick in the ass. Were you murdering a cat?
That was Axl Rose singing Maggie Maggie.
I have one question for you back to Dubro Party Massacre. Favorite kill?
Ooh, I like the unborn child, to be honest. Because it's so gross.
I'm going to go with the juicer. That was the only one that I wrote down specifically in my newts. My notes.
Nudes?
In my nudes.
My favorite is definitely, so my favorite kill is the control, like the it's like the Nintendo, like the Game Boy or whatever that's controlling him, the RC remote that's making him punch himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he pulls his own tongue out. But I also really love when all the bodies come up from the town under the water and they're just like screaming.
That was actually really good special effects, too. They were disgusting looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Dubro Party Massacre has so much going on that they must have had a bigger budget than we're giving them credit for.
Yeah, because, like, I think it's all part of the bit. Because, like, there are some deaths where you're like, wow, that costs some money to do. And then, like, when the wheelchair guy comes back, how shittily all the animals look. It's just all hand puppets.
Yeah.
I don't have a budget on the old wiki.
Weird. I kept that hush hush.
Yeah.
Zip it.
Oh, and it says they launched a $200,000 crowdfunding campaign to finance the film.
That's not very much money.
No, not at all.
That's not even a quarter million.
No.
Jesus.
They did well with it. They used the money wisely for sure. Give them credit for that. Have you guys ever, like, when was the last time you guys watched 5 second films?
I watched a couple right after this. Right after I finished Dubro Party Massacre 3.
All right. Well, that was Dubro Party Massacre 3 from 2015, as picked by Brian. Now, we are very close to the end of the year, which means, motherfuckers, it's Christmas next week. So we're going to be talking about a Christmas movie. We've already done a bunch of the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies. We've done the Black Christmas remake. So what could it possibly be? Well, you're just going to have to check it out next week and find out, I suppose.
Ooh.
Yeah, Lee, I'm not even dropping any hints.
Mm.
You can't get it out of me. It's not Christmas Evil, though.
That was thanks to me. I said no on that one.
Yeah, it's too good of a movie. All right, bye.
Well, see you later.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.